Today on Marianne McPartland's Piano Jazz, we bring you a program from 1985 with one of the most popular stylists in contemporary jazz, pianist Ahmad Jamal.
You know, you and I go back a few years.
It's just great seeing you again.
So. It's great seeing you, and I still have this picture, a mental picture of you at the London House with your trio, and I think that probably was the main trio with Vernell, Fournier.
Well, of course,
Israel Crosby.
Vernell was there, and Israel, bless his heart.
Well, I can't wait to hear you play. It's been so long, so to hear you live, so please play something for me. What'll it be?
I'd love to do a thing I did in Spain. In fact, I wrote it in Spain, and it's called Spain.
What is it, like your impressions of the countryside?
Sort of. It was called something else, and I decided to change it to Spain.
Well, please play it for me. Piece has a real, like a brooding quality about it.
Thank you.
It was done on a hot afternoon where everything was still and there's a little dust, kind of a dusty atmosphere. That's a beautiful piece.
Thank you. And
I can see you've not been letting time go wasting in writing some new pieces.
I've been doing a bit of writing lately, Marion. I don't have as much time as I would like to spend writing, but once in a while, I can manage to get to the old manuscript.
But, you know, I'm going to ask you a couple of things. When I first met you in Chicago at the London House, were you living in Chicago then? Had you come there from Pittsburgh? Or was that one of your first engagements?
I had went to Chicago. I think I left Pittsburgh, went to Chicago in 1948. I had been traveling before that with the George Hudson Orchestra, Marion. And I went back home between 47 and 48, and I went to Chicago. And I stayed there until 1960.
Boy, the London House was sort of your home base, that and the Pershing.
London House, I used to work there as an intermission group. And I left the London House, went to New York, played the Embers for a while, then went back and became an artist in residence at the Pershing Lounge.
Yeah, I remember that. In fact, you recorded there.
Yes, I did.
Several. I know that there must be more than one of those at the Pershing albums.
Yeah, we had an old Steinway that was built in 1890, as a matter of fact, that we recorded on there. And
I remember that piano. I was out there a few times.
It came off very well.
You know, those were real exciting times for me. I hadn't been over here too long from England, and I was just digging everything.
They were good times. You know? I can still see Billie Holiday with her little dog she used to bring in the Pershing.
The gardenia.
Yeah, I can see it just as well as it was yesterday.
Did she work there or did she just come out there?
She was staying in the hotel. She was just coming in to see me. She was working out of town, but she was passing through at the time.
First time I met Billy was at the Blue Note. Well, anyway, will you go ahead and play?
Sure. Here's a tune by...
by you.
Not Johnny Mandel, but by me, that's right. I was going to say by Johnny Mandel, but that's later on. That I had the pleasure of writing maybe a month or two ago. Hopefully Stevie Wonder is going to do the lyrics to this. It's called Without You.
That would be nice. Ooh, that's such a beautiful tune. If Stevie Wonder puts a lyric to that, you're going to have a hit on your hands.
I might be able to retire, huh? At long last.
Oh, you don't want to do that. Somebody that plays those gorgeous harmonies, you wouldn't ever want to retire. That would be silly.
Well, we're going to send a tape to Steve, as a matter of fact, tonight to listen to it, and we hope he'll like it well enough to do lyrics. We were together in New Orleans not too long ago.
Well,
I was doing the Fairmont down there, so we spent a few hours together. He was trying to convince me to probe into the drum synthesizer. He wanted me to get a machine and explore some rhythms.
And what did you decide?
I haven't gotten it yet, Mary.
Well, I'm sort of on the fence about that. You know, I still think a real live drummer is the best there is.
A real live drummer is a real thing.
Yes, you've had some of the best. Thinking of Fern Ellis,
I've been very fortunate. I've had some great drummers and. And it's very interesting, most of the great drummers, or a lot of the great drummers, I can't say most because the drummers come from everywhere, but certainly a lot of them come from New Orleans. I have one now, Herlin Riley, and Vernell Fournier is also from New Orleans, both of them. And both of them, Vernell Fournier, without a doubt, is one of the world's greatest drummers, no question about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I would say so. What's the name of the one you have now?
Herlin Riley.
Herlin Riley.
He was working with Al Hurt some time ago now, and then he went out with... a Broadway show one more time. He was in London for 6 months with that. Now he's back with me.
And who's on
bass?
But
he's also from New Orleans. I'm using a young man that was talking about one of your songs the other day. I guess it was Ambiance.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
And James can make a remarkable bassist, Marion. He's originally from Washington, D.C. He's been with the West Point Army Band. And he's just a great bassist. And I have guitars also working with me now.
I know everybody would love to hear one of your big hits that you did years ago, but first...
Well, I'm certainly hoping you'll play one of those things for me. I'd love to hear you play Poinciana later on in the
Well, of course, it would be rather shameless of me to do that, but... I'll just sort of work in easy and do this one that you wanted to hear by Harold Arlen, Ill Wind.
I'd love to hear it. You know the story I told you about that.
Tell me.
Why I wanted to hear it. You know, the last time I heard this perform, I was at the Hickory House, and I had the enviable pleasure of listening to Marilyn Williams play it that night, Marion. And I would love to hear you do it.
Of course, you just put me on the spot when you said that, because Mary Lou was somebody I really adored and respected and admired. And actually, I guess I knew her pretty well. And she was a big influence on me. And, well, anyway, I won't talk about that. See what I can do with this. Ill Wind by Harold Arlen. And here goes. Nervous.
It's just great.
Playing for you is...
It's great, Marion.
Well, it's a tune I've always liked. I don't know. You must play all
Where
those...
Where do you get all those magnificent harmonies from?
I'm listening to people like you. Thinking, ooh, that would be...
listening to yourself.
No, I sometimes I guess it's a good idea to listen to oneself, but, I mean, for instance, you, like, after you've made a record, do you... go back and listen to it and take it apart and say, oh, I should have done this, or I should have done that.
I listened to it so much in the production stages, as you know.
Yeah.
That the only time I listen afterwards is when I'm doing an interview at a station. They happen to have the record there, hopefully. But I very rarely continue listening because I've done so much listening prior to release time. And I've, in fact, case in point would be the historic thing we did at the Pershing with Israel and Vernell. We did 43 tracks that night at the Pershing, and I only used 8. So that involved a lot of editing, a lot of listening. I continued to listen to that quite a bit afterward. That was a rarity, but it was played so much, and I guess that's the reason why I was doing a... I was at the peak of the interviews at that time. I was doing a lot of interviews.
Well, a lot was happening with you at that. I don't know which one, whether you're referring to, but not for me. I don't know which one came first.
628, yes.
That was such a huge hit.
It was.
My goodness.
It was on the charts for 108 weeks. And we were getting airtime that was unheard of because, of course, Poinciana was 7 minutes and 35 seconds. But to get back to the point, that's one of the rare times that I listened a lot after it was released. Most of the time, all my listening is done prior to release, and that's it.
I guess it's the same with me, too, because after you've done it, you sort of, at least I sort of think, well, that's it, I've done that.
Yeah, you
and
go on to the next thing.
You go on to the next one.
And in fact, I was asked a few days ago, we were doing a seminar in Kansas City at the university there. And a young man asked me what is my favorite product, my favorite LP or recording, whatever. And I said, the next one.
Well, I guess that's, most of us do think that way. But it's still in all, if you had to, I guess I'll put you on the spot, but if you had to pick one that isn't the next one, I mean, wouldn't you be pretty satisfied with some of those things you did?
The most put together one, or the one I think that was close to artistic perfection as much as I can get in my own person, would be 628, the one at the Pershing.
Well, you know,
I made one mistake there, though. I didn't put one of my songs on that album. I did a thing by Dizzy Gillespie. I did George Gershwin's, but not for me, and some others, but I did not do any of my own compositions. And I was criticized severely for that.
Well, I guess you knew better after that. That it taught you in a hurry. Well, talking about but not for me. You know, as you say, you've heard it so much, but I know everybody would love to hear you do it.
Very rarely play it. I would only do it for you. I tell you.
Well, we can do it as a duet. I can get in there and put in my own 10 cents.
I love it.
If you'd like.
I love that supportive role that you do so well for this.
I don't know if it's supportive or destructive.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina Public Radio.